Now, so much to talk about in English soccer, as well as the FA Cup, as you've been hearing, holders Arsenal out, beaten 1-0 by Southampton. But to talk about the stories of the moment, we're joined now by Stephen Elliott, Andrew Cheel and Ray Houghton. And Stephen, Adrian touched on it for a moment there. The big game tomorrow, Manchester United against Liverpool. And they're the two teams that are very much in the news at the moment.
Yeah, it's a huge game, obviously. They both faced off against each other last weekend in a nil-all game. But I think this game, probably going into the game, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will feel a lot less pressure than Jurgen Klopp. I think Jurgen Klopp's going through his team is going through a really bad spell, and they really need to pick up a result from somewhere. And probably an away tie to Man United in the FA Cup fourth round isn't an ideal fixture at this stage, because he's probably hoping that he could have potentially rested a few players. So he's probably trying to get the balance right of trying to get a positive result and then obviously saving some players for the big games coming up. Obviously, they're away in London twice next week as well, which would be really tough.
Mm. And Ray, the focus very much on Jurgen Klopp and on Liverpool. What do you make of what's been happening at Anfield recently?
Well, the obvious thing, if you just look at it, is they can't score at the moment. If you looked at the general play, I mean, every game they've been in recently, Manchester United last week, Burnley midweek, playing against Southampton when they lost 1-0, Newcastle, West Brom, they've had the least possession they've had is 65%. So more often than not, they're controlling the game. They're having upwards of 17 attempts at goal. I think against Burnley, they had 27. They're not all creating great chances, but they have to start putting the ball in the back of net. That's something that they have done with the three forwards, with Firmino, Mane and Salah, for the last three seasons, time and time again. At the moment, it isn't quite working out. And this is on the back of, you know, beating Leicester comfortably enough, beating Wolves at home, I think it was by 4, went to Crystal Palace and beat them by 7. And since then, the results have started to fade. Not necessarily the performances, but the actual converting chances into goals is something that is a major concern for Liverpool at the moment. They're not conceding too many, but what they're not doing is they're not breaking through in that final third. They're not decisive enough, and they've lost a bit of confidence in front of goal.
So it's not necessarily about the absence then of Virgil van Dijk?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, listen, if you lose van Dijk and you lose Matip and you lose Gomez, which was the heartbeat of the centre of the defence, yeah, of course, because what you're then doing is bringing Fabinho back from central midfield to centre-back, likewise with Jordan Henderson, and that might just weaken the midfield slightly. And I think one of the areas where Liverpool aren't doing as well is they aren't breaking from midfield into advanced positions. Now, that's something they were doing when the centre forwards, the three forwards, come a little bit deeper, leaving gaps to run into. They aren't doing that as often, and there's no doubt about it. Allied to that, two of the fullbacks, you know, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, were two of the best going forward and creating opportunities. You have a look at their goal assists in the last few seasons, it's incredible. Their final ball isn't quite of a good enough quality at the moment, hence the reasons why they're not getting them clear-cut opportunities inside the 18-yard box.
Mm. Andrew Cheel, what do you make of what's been happening at the top of the table?
I think Manchester United being at the top of the table has sprung a big surprise for many people. I think they've been gradually and stealthily improving over the last year or so. It is a big surprise to many people to see them top, 2 points clear of City, even though City, I think, have got a game in hand, haven't they? If you ask me, can United win the title, I'd have to say maybe, but no more than maybe. I think City still have the stronger squad, and they have the experience of winning the league that counts for more than a little as well. I think losing De Bruyne for the next, is it six weeks, could be a massive blow for City. He's such a good player, such a good creator and scorer of goals. That may well, even the field up a little bit and tip it the way of Manchester United, perhaps.
Mm. And Stephen, Leicester will be without Jamie Vardy for a couple of weeks. He's to undergo a minor hernia operation. Are you surprised to see them up there?
Not really. Leicester, Brendan Rodgers has done a really good job there. If you watch his team play, they've got a great structure to them. And obviously, Jamie Vardy up front, he's probably one of the best strikers, old-fashioned strikers in the league. And they go about their business really well, but I still think they've got players to come in that can kind of do a job with Vardy missing out. But he is a big loss, and to be up there, you speak to Maddison, listen to Maddison speaking through the week, and he doesn't sound like they're lacking on confidence, the squad, and I think they like going about the business quietly. And listen, they've won the Premier League recently enough, so I think the area and Leicester itself, they know how to win a Premier League, and they won't be fazed by being up there. There's some of the squad of players that won the league are still there, so they'll be giving advice, no doubt, to some of the other members of the squad. And will they have enough in the squad to kind of push Man United, City, Liverpool all the way? Probably not, but I'm sure they're enjoying it at the moment while they sit up there with the likes of them.
And I suppose from a neutral's perspective, Stephen, because there are so many teams in the mix, it's more enjoyable. It was a runaway last year, for Liverpool last season.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at the league table now, like obviously Man United, City, Leicester, Liverpool, Spurs, even Everton are right up there, and it just makes it for a much better watch. Like any team can beat anybody, and that has probably got a lot to do with no supporters coming to the game. I think certain teams thrive on having their home support, and they're probably missing out on that. And whereas other teams maybe don't thrive as much, and the fact that they don't have that pressure of their fans, they're maybe being able to perform a little bit better. So what we have now is a really open kind of title race, and I think it's really, you'd be a brave man to probably pick anybody outside Man City, I think, at the moment. I still think they're the team to catch. I know Liverpool won't want to give her up easily, but I just think Liverpool's next four or five fixtures are really tough, and in the form they're in, I just can't see them getting enough points. I think Liverpool need to probably win nearly every game from now till the end of the season. Looking at it, and will they do that? I'm not sure. But no, I think Leicester, Man City, Man United, they're in great form, but I do think Man City still may have enough to kind of outdo the rest.
And Ray, can you see a quick transformation in the fortunes of Liverpool over the next few weeks? I mean, will it be like a trigger switch that something will happen, or is it a longer term thing?
No, I don't think so. I think, just based on what's happened to myself when I was at Liverpool in the past, I remember going through seasons where the first half, you weren't quite at it as much as you should have been. And then you galvanise, you come together. I've heard James Milner and one or two of the Liverpool players saying, you know, it's time that the players stood up. We've got to put it right on the pitch. And he's absolutely right. And this will test the Liverpool players, because the last two and a half seasons has been absolutely fantastic, winning the Champions League, winning the league. And I think there's enough quality in this Liverpool side. Once they start winning again and get that winning feeling back, they'll go on a very good run. But I agree with Stephen. I think just on the way things are at the moment, Man City are the form side. They've only conceded one league goal in the last seven or eight league matches, and that was an own goal. They're scoring goals once again. They're really hard to beat. Defensively, they're nice and strong. But the thing that De Bruyne have been out for a length of time, it would be a worry, because he is the catalyst. He's the one that really, you know, it keeps them together and takes them forward into good areas to win matches.
And Sergio Aguero also out with COVID, so that's another blow to Manchester City. Andrew, a man who's coming under the spotlight a lot in recent times is Frank Lampard, especially after their defeat at the hands of Leicester. How much pressure is he under?
I think he is under pressure, but I think it's a great shame that he is. I think he's under pressure because of the lack of patience amongst club directors and owners and managers and the top echelons of the club. Patience is in such short supply. I think that's why he's under pressure. There are so few opportunities for English managers these days. I think if Lamps gets the elbow, he could be out in the cold for an uncomfortable length of time, which would peeve me more than somewhat. I think he's a young man with a big future in management ahead of him, but he needs the top people at the club to just hang in there and be with him for a little while longer.
And also, I suppose, he would be hoping that some of his marquee players would be playing a bit better.
Yes, that would help him, no question about it. He's being let down on the field by one or two individuals, perhaps, who are not doing the business for him at the moment. It's just a question, really, of picking up a win here and there. They're down in eighth place. I think that will peeve a lot of Chelsea fans at the moment, because they were expecting much better things than this from Lampard. He arrived back at the club to a hero's welcome, and he's not doing a heroic job for them at the moment.
And is there a danger, though, that because there is a quite a tradition now at Chelsea of managers being got rid of the moment pressure mounts and places in the Premier League table drop, is his job under threat, do you think?
Yes, I think it certainly is. Given the way that they've dealt with managers in the past, you're lucky if you last more than two seasons at Chelsea in the last 20 years or so. And yes, definitely, because it's a results-driven game these days. Well, it always has been, but more so these days. And if Chelsea don't get into at the moment. They're short of what? 4 points short of a European place. And so if they fail to qualify for Europe, that will, I think, be the straw that breaks the camel's back as far as the top management is concerned at the Bridge.
Mm. Is the absence of crowds, Ray, making a big difference this season?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. And I think I'll take Liverpool as an example. I don't think it's the home support, you know, that Liverpool are missing. It's the away support. You know, that's where their troubles have been, is on the road. They've only lost the ones in the league this past three seasons, and that was the other evening against Burnley. So that's not been a problem for them at Anfield. It's away from home where they really need that support. You know, Stephen will tell you, you know, there'll be times in a game when things aren't going well, and if you've got a good away support behind you, driving you on, it does give you a little bit more momentum. And I think there are certainly some of the bigger clubs that are missing out. Some players are really thankful that there's no crowd because there's no pressure on them. Whereas if they were playing in a full stadium and they made a mistake, you don't know how they're going to react to it. But the sooner we get fans back, I've got to be honest with you, the better. Because at the moment, you know, we're just getting far too used to being no crowd at stadiums, you know. And I don't think it's good for the game. I don't think the players particularly enjoy it. The fans will watch it as much as they can because of the pandemic we're in. That gives them something to do. But overall, you know, the game isn't nowhere near the same without the fans in the stadium.
Sure. And Stephen, if you'd said to Manchester United fans that halfway through this season that they would be on top of the table, 6 points ahead of champions Liverpool, they would have probably laughed at you.
Yeah, it's been quite the turnaround, hasn't it, by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer with his squad. And I think the catalyst seems to be when Paul Pogba's agent has come out and said he'd be leaving the club. And ever since then, Paul Pogba has come into the team and he started to find a bit of form. And it's no coincidence that Man United have been picking up results regularly when he comes into form. Everybody's talking about Bruno Fernandes. But I think Paul Pogba, he's coming in, he's a match winner again. He scored a fantastic goal the other night to win the game in a tricky game away to Fulham. And obviously scoring the previous week again before that. But I think he's one of these players that even if he's not being great in the game, he's got an aura about him on the pitch and he can do something out of nowhere. And I think he's given the rest of the squad a little bit of lift. And I think what he is, he's a winner as well. He likes to win trophies, Pogba. He's won a lot of trophies when he's at Juventus, World Cup winner. And I think he can smell the Premier League. And you listen to him speak even after the games. And he seems like a little bit more of a hunger about him than what we had seen in previous years at Man United. And I think the fact that he knows, he feels there's a good chance of winning that big trophy this year. And I think that's why we're seeing him perform. And as I said, if he continues to perform like that, there's no reason why Man United can't go on and keep getting results. And they've been lucky as well, United. They haven't had any major injuries, which all the other teams have. Obviously, Liverpool's injuries have been noted. Man City, they've missed a few players all through the season. Now we're speaking about Leicester, Jamie Vardy missing. But Man United have kind of haven't missed any major players, and that's helped them a little bit. Ole has been able to kind of mix and match his squad around for certain games. And no, I think United are in a great position. And as I said earlier on, they'd be going into this game tomorrow full of confidence with not major pressure on them.
Mm. Ray, do you think they're realistic title contenders, United?
Yeah, I think it's great for the Premier League that we've got so many teams that can actually go on and win it. The previous two seasons, it was either or, wasn't it, when we came into the second half of the season, it was either Liverpool or Man City. You know, it was as simple as that. Whereas now we've got six or seven sides that really, if they can put a good run together in the second half of the season, they've got an outstanding chance. It's as they say, it's up for grabs, that's for sure. I think Manchester United have got a good enough squad. They need to defend well. They'd certainly done that against Liverpool last weekend. Now they've got to be consistent in that department down the end of the season, because attacking wise, Rashford and Martial and Cavani and Pogba and the others in the team, Greenwood, they've got enough quality there to win football matches. It's just how well they defend as a team will be the difference between now and the end of the season. But it's great for the Premier League that we've got so many competing for it.
What do you make of Pogba, Andrew?
I think he's it's enigmatic, isn't he? I think that's the word for him. He can perform miracles on his day, and then sometimes he can drift away and be a bit anonymous. But I think he's a very self-motivated man. He doesn't seem to need or want motivation from outside him, his own person. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has found some way of making him tick, and that is to leave him alone, I think.
Yes, indeed. Well, one of the interesting bits of news this week came with the confirmation yesterday, indeed, that Mick McCarthy, having been sacked by Apion Nicosia, he was given the job of manager of Cardiff City. We can actually hear Mick talking now to Cardiff City TV.
It is too big an opportunity to turn down. I was thrilled. It's always sad because there's somebody has to lose the job, and I know Neil personally, but you know, it does happen, and I'm thrilled by the opportunity to come in and try and get Cardiff back winning games and getting up the table.
This is of course a division that you've mastered in the past. You know your way around this division.
Well, thank you. Mastered might be a bit of an overstatement. I've won it twice with Sunderland and with Wolves. Two good teams, but two teams that we had to build from pretty much nothing, from, you know, being relegated actually, and then bringing players in who were young, hungry, ready to go. I think there's a bit of a different challenge here because it's although it is a team that's been relegated from the Premier League recently. Seems to me we've got a good squad of players, and I'm looking forward to getting down to work. TC's coming with Terry Connor, who was with me at Wolves when we got promoted. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not quite sure you ever master this league. We might do well in it, and we might master it for one season, but mastering it completely is a bit of an oversell.
A player once said to me, speaking about managers, who the best managers he worked for, and he said, simple, the ones that made me enjoy my football, made put a smile on my face. Man management's so huge, isn't it? And is job one for you simply about getting those boys smiling and believing again?
Yes, of course, because it's not one man's fault that where we are in this position and I'm coming in. You know, there'll be lots of reasons why not being winning games. But footballers like to be in a club where they're winning games, and it's amazing how if you can turn those fortunes around and win a few games, you just suddenly see players who have not been producing, not scoring goals, letting goals in. It's not been working for them. They've got big sad faces. Suddenly they've got beaming smiles, and that is what I'd like to do, is to get smiles back on players' faces. And if we do that, we'll get smiles back on fans' faces. But I do think man management is the big part of the job. And if ever there was testimony to that, was one bloke that's been here, was Neil Warnock. And he's done it wherever he's doing it now again at Middlesbrough. And he gets the best out of people. And if you get the best out of people, you get results.
There you are, Mick McCarthy back in a job at Cardiff City, who lie 15th in the championship. Stephen, are you surprised to see Mick so quickly back in management?
I'm not really, no. Obviously, leaving Apoel, it wasn't a huge shock either there. I think they've had so many managers over the last 24 months that it was no major.
Yeah.
Was it? So I don't
15,
think it was a major.
15 in the last few years, I think it is. Or
was it? Well, there you go. That probably tells you. So I don't think he's going to be judged massively on his stint out in Cyprus. But I think, listen, when Mick McCarthy's available and there's championship clubs that need a manager or top league one clubs, they're always going to look to Mick McCarthy, because what you see is what you get with Mick, and he's got great experience in the Football League, especially the Championship. I was privileged enough to work under Mick at a couple of clubs, and I couldn't speak highly enough of him. He's a really top man manager, and he makes players really believe in themselves, and he gets a little bit more out of players, and like he says, Cardiff have lost the last six games, so it's hard to kind of find confidence when you keep losing every week, and all the players, you're probably looking around for excuses and people blame. But obviously Mick going in there now, he'll change that a little bit, and initially he'll need to get a reaction. He'll need to kind of stop them conceding goals for a start, because they've conceded too many goals and they're losing games. So if you can start off doing that, then I've no doubt that you can start putting a few results. And you look at that Cardiff squad, they've still got a really good squad, championship level, and they probably should be minimum playoff position. So if he can go in there and get a little bit of a run, it's not too late to try and make a late run into that playoffs, because I wouldn't put a pass Mick and TC going in and doing that.
Ray, a good move for Mick?
Oh, a great move for Mick, absolutely. And I'm sure the decision makers at Cardiff would have looked at his CV and seen that the fact that, as Mick mentioned there in his interview, that he's got a couple of promotions from this division. He knows it very well. He's been working on it as well in the media. So he's been observing at games, the players, and he'll hit the ground running, and he has to. It's as simple as that. You know, you look at Cardiff as a club, it's a very good club. You know, they've been in the Premier League not that long ago. Look at their form of late. I think they've lost the last five league games, but it's all been by the odd goals, like 3-2, 2-1, 1-0. So I don't think they're too far away. I just think they needed a new voice in the changing room. Neil Harris done an okay job as such, but I think Mick coming in with his experience and know-how, that he'll get the best out of this team. And I think the next few games, he's got Barnsley, I think the old club that he played for, and I think he's got Millwall, I mean, his first managerial job as well. So there's got some good games coming up for Cardiff and for Mick, but you must start winning games. Because actually, I was talking to a reporter today who was asking me questions about Mick, and he was saying, he was from Wales, and he said, you know, some of the fans have already said they don't want Mick. They think he's a bit dated and, you know, maybe style of football. And that is just what Andrew was saying earlier about the way owners are and the way football fans are today. It's all about, you have to do it here and now. You can't wait for things to happen. So for Mick, he can't afford to come in and get on a bad losing run. He has to hit the ground running. He has to start winning games straight away.
Andrew, your opinion on it?
I think it's a really good move for Mick. I think it's a really good move for Cardiff City Football Club. I've got a lot of time for Mick McCarthy, as has been said already. I did a lot of reporting on Millwall when he was there. And what you see is what you get is exactly the right phrase. He's straight talking. He won't stand any nonsense. And you cannot fail to understand what he's asking you to do. It's as simple as that.
Before we wind up, let's turn our attention northwards. Celtic, 20 points behind Rangers in second place in the Premiership, and Neil Lennon, a man under pressure, Stephen.
Yeah, it's been an awful season, if we're honest, for Celtic. I know they won the Scottish Cup last season, Scottish Cup there just before Christmas against Hearts in the final, but for this campaign, it couldn't have gone any worse for Celtic. And I think even the whole COVID situation, going to Dubai and having to play kind of the young lads in the games, I just think it hasn't helped them. But no, I don't know where they're going to go now. There's a lot of people saying that Neil Lennon may lose his job, but he's come out fighting Neil Lennon, saying he's not going to walk, and he thinks he's the man to kind of turn them around now. Whether he's doing that because he doesn't want to walk away from potential payoff, or he genuinely believes that, I'm not sure. But no, if you're a Celtic supporter or anybody to do with Celtic, then you'd be really worried, because Rangers really do look miles ahead of them at the moment, and it's been quite the turnaround considering what Celtic have done over the past three seasons up there.
Ray?
Yeah, listen, it's very tough for Neil at the moment. There's been a lot of bad decisions being made. I think when it came to personnel, who they brought in, and that recruitment is a huge factor when you're a manager at a football club. I don't think that was particularly good. Going away to Dubai when they did, and that was probably the wrong thing to do as well. And it's a results industry, you know, and regardless if you're winning maybe the League Cup, Celtic are always, you know, looked at in reference to what they do against Rangers and where they end up at the end of the season in comparison to Rangers. And to be so far behind at this stage of the season is probably not acceptable to the Celtic supporters, and they obviously want change. We'll see what develops over the next few months and what the decisions are going to be made by the board, because they're the ones that have to make the big call on what they're going to do as far as Neil Lennon's career as manager of Celtic.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the FA Cup. One big result already today. Holders Arsenal out. Southampton 1, Arsenal 0. It finished. Let's hear from the Southampton manager, Ralph Hasenhüttl.
I mean, we had in the first half, I think we had more punch, more power. In the second half, sure, it's always normal that the opponent then gets a lift. They make a few good subs with quality, and then it's still hard to defend. We must make the second goal. I think there was only one or two chances. I think the penalty for Longley, it was a clear penalty for me. In the end, then you can kill the game, but as long as it's 1-0, yeah, you never know. But the team was very disciplined today. against such a strong side, it's always important that you are against the ball very good organised. And I think I've seen today 11 players on the pitch. They really worked hard for this cup win.
Yes, Ray, holders out. Good win for Southampton.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm delighted for the manager. And do you know what? Southampton as a club, congratulations to them, because it would have been easy last season, you know, when they were going through a really tough time. I think they lost 9 to Leicester, for them to change the manager and say, you know what, it's not working, we need to find someone new. But they didn't. They backed the manager. They thought he was the right one to move them forward as a club. This season they've been very, very good in the league. Yeah, maybe of late the depth of the squad isn't quite what some of the others have got, but that's a very good win for them, and they'll be looking forward to the next round of the FA Cup as well.
Stephen?
Yeah, it's a great result for Southampton, but for Arsenal, it's not great, is it? Like, cup holders as well, to kind of go out at this stage is not probably acceptable if you're an Arsenal fan. You look at Arsenal now in the table, and it doesn't look like they're going to finish in the European places, so to qualify for Europe. So you're probably thinking maybe one of the cup competitions again for them to kind of go in that way. But they just haven't looked good enough, I don't think. This year, I know it's obviously a transitional period and there's a lot of stuff going on off the pitch, and obviously they've tried to move players on. Ozil comes to mind and that, but I think he's got a big job on his hands, Arteta, but similar to Lampard, it'd be nice to see him, give him a little bit more time to kind of get his stamp on it and bring a bit more of his style of player in to see what he can do there, because I don't think this season they're going to do anything major looking at what they've been like so far.
All right, we'll await developments there. Stephen Elliott, Ray Houghton and Andrew Cheel, thank you very much for joining us.